From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. Turkey's Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu says the Islamic State group is the top suspect in Saturday's double suicide bombing in Ankara. Davutoğlu said that authorities are close to identifying one of the bombers and that the evidence points to a certain group. Thousands of people took to the streets of Ankara yesterday as the country mourned the victims of the twin bombings at a peace rally that killed at least 97 people. More from Dorian Jones.
It's the third fatal bombing aimed at pro-Kurdish groups since June. In July, 33 young activists were killed by a suicide bomber. The previous attacks were blamed by security forces on Islamic State militants. But in what observers say was a controversial move, the government refused to open a parliamentary investigation into the bombings. Saturday's double bombing is adding to a deepening polarization of the country as it heads to a general election in November. Destabilizing the elections is seen as a possible motive behind Saturday's attack. The fear in Turkey now is what else can happen before Election Day. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
The European Council is calling for Russia to immediately end military attacks in Syria that do not target Islamic State or other UN-designated terrorist organizations. An EU statement says recent Russian military attacks on the moderate opposition are of deep concern and must cease immediately. Russia claims to have hit 53 targets in the past 24 hours, which it describes as airstrikes on an IS training camp and underground IS facilities. Two twin suicide bombings killed at least 9 people and wounded 29 others in northern Cameroon in an attack local and security officials blame on Boko Haram militants. On Saturday, the Nigeria-based militant group launched 5 coordinated attacks in neighboring Chad, killing close to 40 people. This is VOA News. In southern Afghanistan today, gunmen riding a motorbike shot and killed a doctor who worked for the United Nations Assistance Mission. No one has claimed responsibility for the attack. The assassination of the doctor comes 2 days after the U.S. Embassy in Kabul warned of attacks against the U.S. headquarters or possibly its offices in the Afghan capital on or about October 12th. Old City Jerusalem saw more violence today with an attacker trying to stab an Israeli policeman before being shot and killed. A spokesman for the Israeli Defense Forces said the attack happened near the Lion's Gate and that the policeman's protective vest fended off the attacker's knife. Today's attack followed violence in other areas on Sunday, including Israeli gunfire killing a 13-year-old Palestinian boy near a checkpoint in the West Bank, and violent demonstrations by Palestinians in Gaza. Iran's parliament has given preliminary approval of a bill that allows the government to implement a historic nuclear deal reached with world powers. Under the agreement, the Iranian government is authorized to withdraw from compliance with the deal if the other side fails to lift sanctions against Iran. Final approval of the parliamentary action is expected later this week. Meantime, Iranian state television is reporting that Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian has been convicted on charges including espionage. The report quoted a judiciary spokesman saying the reporter and his lawyer are eligible to appeal the conviction within 20 days. VOA Persian service producer Human Bakhtir has more on the details and the lack of them in the verdict.
For non-Iranians, the trial process, in fact, the Iranian judiciary system is very, very opaque. Even Iranians have a hard time understanding what goes on behind the closed doors because nothing is transparent. And there's no due process, evidence, no discovery process where the prosecutor has to give all the evidence presented to the defense. So it's very arbitrary, basically. And people now are speculating as to why Jason Rezaian was arrested 450 days ago on purely trumped-up charges.
Princeton University professor Angus Deaton has won the 2015 Nobel Economics Prize for his analysis of consumption, poverty, and welfare. The Royal Swedish Academy of Science has said by linking detailed individual choices and aggregate outcomes, Deaton's research has helped transform the fields of macro, micro, and development economics. The Nobel Committee says his work revolves around 3 questions, such as how do consumers distribute their spending among different goods, how much of society's income is spent and how much is saved, and how do we best measure and analyze welfare and poverty. It says his research has shown how the clever use of household data can shed light on issues. I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.